time for our book club for April. If you read the last book, Wonder, by R.J. Palacio, pick up the phone this morning and let us know what you thought of it. 030 30 80 55 55. Yesterday I spoke to our regular reader and reviewer, Charlie Lawson, and I began by asking him what it was about.
Well, it starts off, and what's it about? It's about a young boy who has a severe cranial handicap. In other words, his face is extremely deformed. And each chapter, a group of chapters are mapped out. We hear from Augie, who's the main character, what it's like to be the way he is, and his journey through school. And really, you get into the book and you realize, you wonder where this is going, and then you hear from different views, from his sister, from his mother, from his father, and then from his classmates, but you still wonder where this book is going. And it actually leads up to the chapter, I think probably second from the end, I won't spoil it for you, which is a speech by Mr. Tushman, who is the headmaster. And in my opinion, that's what it leads up to. And it's a book that I wasn't really into, but by the time I finished it this morning, it's the first book in a long time that brought tears to my eyes.
Really? This made you cry?
Yes, it did, in a very warm way, but it leads up. She's written it beautifully in the sense that her writing, although it's American, you have to kind of put your American head on a wee bit. Her writing for children is excellent. And but as I say, it's a simple book, and you get 200 pages, and I'm thinking, where is this going to? And it doesn't end in a massive sort of adventure or a robber. You know what I mean? It's gently goes along, and then you get to the second last chapter, and that's where it leads to. And that chapter is particularly moving, given the sort of 300 pages that you've covered before.
Yeah.
It's an easy read. As I say, put your American head on and enjoy. It's not my favourite book, but it's a worthwhile book.
Yeah,
it's not. I don't mean that in a worthy sort of arsey way. It's a worthwhile read. And it's an easy read. There again, that's why we're doing this, Vinny.
Exactly.
Short chapters, very, very easy to read. Even Stephen could read this.
Well, if it's lots of pictures, Charlie, then he maybe could. You've read a few of these books for us now, Charlie. Are you finding a reawakening of your love for books? Because as adults, we quite often so easily get out of that habit.
It's reawakened my sort of thirst for novels. If you like, as I've said before, I'm about to read book four now for next time. But I would be an historical reader, you know, Sebastian Fuchs, et cetera, history books, A.J. B. Taylor, et cetera, factual documentary books on recent history, et cetera. So these are the first three novels that I've read for a good while.
Well, here, let's get down to business, Charlie, and I want you to be totally honest with me. Apparently, you're just back from a trip to Benidorm, so... In my head, Charlie Lawson, you were lying on a sun lounger in your Speedo reading this book. Is that what you were doing, your homework for this interview?
I'll tell you what, and I would not be someone who would go to Benidorm just off the bat. I went to open the Northern Irish Supporters Club bar. I had a fabulous time. I flew in on the Sunday night, had a venture into Benidorm on Sunday night and came back to the hotel rather quickly. On the Friday, and then on the Saturday pottered about, had a look at the wrong end of town, decided I'd go back to the right end of town, went to the Northern Irish Supporters Club bar, had an absolutely brilliant night. It was absolutely superb, great fun. Benidorm wouldn't be my choice of somewhere to go.
Really? Why not?
But an interesting, surreal experience, let me say. But I was not in anywhere near Speedos or anywhere near a swimming pool. I went in, did the boy, saw the Green and White Army, had a brilliant, fabulous night. I recommend that anybody's over there, go and visit it. It was brilliant. It was super duper, you know. And, you know, there were 300 people there, and there was no party songs. There was no, it was just a fabulous night and a great asset to Benidorm, which, incidentally, I had two meals there, and they were very, very good. So Benidorm...
Have you got shares in this place, Charlie?
Eh?
Have you got shares in this place?
Well,
don't answer that question. I'm afraid of what you might say. Charlie, just before you go, every time I look at Facebook and look on the internet, there are quite often, I think I'm getting the phrase right, called memes. So when people put pictures with funny logos or quotes and your face. Yes, your face. People do this of lots of people. But every time I look at Facebook, it could be anyone. It could be Kim Kardashian, etc. But you are by far the most prolific appearer in memes, and quite often they are very rude but very funny.
They make me laugh. Unfortunately, lads and lasses, I couldn't retweet any of them because they're slightly near the knuckle, but they are very, very funny. And look, Vinny, I'm just flattered that people bother their arse to sort of do that about me. I mean, it's, you know, it shows that I must be doing something right, you know what I mean? And thank you very much, all you lot, for doing it, because it does keep us amused over here.
There you go, Charlie Lawson speaking to me yesterday. Now, let's hear Charlie reading from our next book in the book club. It's Britt Marie Was Here by Frederick Backman. And it starts with the main character, Britt Marie, going out to sign on for the first time.
What's your educational background, Britt Marie?
Britt Marie squeezes her handbag. I'll have you know that my education is excellent. But no, formal education. For your information, I solve an enormous number of crosswords, which is not the sort of thing one can do without an education. OK, what sort of life experience do you have? My last employment was as a waitress. I had outstanding references. The girl looks hopeful. And when was that? 1978. Ah, you haven't worked since then. I've worked every day since then. I helped my husband with his company. Again, the girl looks hopeful. And what sort of tasks did you perform in the company? I took care of the children and saw to it that our home was presentable. The girl smiles to hide her disappointment, as people do when they don't have the ability to distinguish between a place to live and a home. The girl checks her watch. Okay, she says. Britt Marie feels her tone has a note of criticism in it. The children are twins and we have a balcony. It's more work than you think, having a balcony. The girl nods tentatively. How old are your children? Kent's children. They're 30. Oh, so they've left home, obviously. And you're 63 years old. Yes, says Britt Marie dismissively, as if this was highly irrelevant. The girl clears her throat as if, actually, it's very relevant indeed. Well, Britt Marie, quite honestly, because of the financial crisis and all that, I mean, there's a scarcity of jobs for people in your situation. The girl sounds a bit as if situation was not her first choice as a way of concluding the sentence. Britt Marie smiles patiently. Kent says the financial crisis is over. He's an entrepreneur. He must understand, so he understands these kind of things, which are possibly a little outside your field of competence. The girl blinks for an unnecessary amount of time, checks her watch. She seems uncomfortable, which vexes Britt Marie. She quickly decides to give the girl a compliment, just to show her goodwill. She looks around the room for something to compliment her about, and finally manages to say, with a generous smile she can muster, "You have a very modern hairstyle." "What?" "Oh, thanks," she replies, her fingertips moving self-consciously towards her scalp. "It's very courageous of you to wear your hair so short when you have such a large forehead." Why does the girl look offended, Britt Marie wonders. Clearly, that's what happens when you try to be sociable towards young people these days. The girl rises from her chair. "Thanks for coming, Britt Marie. You are registered on our database. We'll be in touch." She holds out her hand to say goodbye. Britt Marie stands up and places the plastic mug of coffee in her hand. "When?" "Well, it's difficult to say. I suppose I'm supposed to just sit and wait," counters Britt Marie with a diplomatic smile, "as if I didn't have anything better to do." the girl swallows. Well, my colleague will be in touch with you about a job seeker's training course, and I don't want a course, I want a job. Absolutely, but it's difficult to say when something will turn up. Britt Marie gets out a notebook from her pocket. Shall we say tomorrow, then?
What?
Could something turn up tomorrow? The girl clears her throat. Well, it could, or I'd rather... Britt Marie gets out a pencil from her bag, eyes the pencil with some disapproval, and then looks at the girl. Might I trouble you for a pencil sharpener, she asks. A pencil sharpener, asks the girl, as if she'd been asked for a thousand-year-old magical artifact. I need to put our meeting on the list. Some people don't understand the value of lists, but Britt Marie is not one of those people. She has so many lists that she has to keep a separate list to list all the lists. Otherwise, anything could happen. She could die, or forget to buy the bicarbonate of soda. The girl offers her a biro and says something to the effect of, actually, I don't have time tomorrow. But Britt Marie is too busy peering at the biro to hear what she's saying. Surely we can't write lists in ink, she bursts out. That's all I've got. The girl says this with some finality. Is there anything else I can help you with today, Britt Marie? Ha! Britt Marie responds after a moment. Britt Marie often says that, ha! Not as in, ha ha, but as in, aha! Spoken in particularly disappointed tone. Like when you find a wet towel thrown on the bathroom floor. Ha! Immediately after saying this, Britt Marie always firmly closes her mouth to emphasise this is the last thing she intends to say on the subject, although it is rarely the last thing. The girl hesitates. Britt Marie grasps the biro as if it's sticky, looks at the list marked Tuesday in her notebook, and at the top above cleaning and shopping she writes, Unemployment Office to contact me. She hands back the pen. It was very nice to meet you, says the girl robotically. We'll be in touch. Ha! Says Britt Marie with a nod. Britt Marie leaves the unemployment office. The girl is obviously under the impression that this is the last time they'll meet, because she's unaware of how scrupulously Britt Marie sticks to her lists. Clearly, the girl has never seen Britt Marie's balcony. It's an astonishingly presentable balcony.
There you go. And if you want to find out more about Britt Marie's trip to the Dole office or her balcony, you can pick up the book at your local library today. And at Libraries NI have extra copies of all books we feature in the book club, so you shouldn't have any trouble getting them.